Good evening. Welcome to the Jersey Boys, presented by the Sportscast. Today is May 18th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch.tv, and Apple Podcasts. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It'll help us out tremendously. We are also on DAB Digital Radio. You can listen to us on your smart speaker, Play Sportscast. You can also visit us on thesportscast.net. Also follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1 and check out our app, The Sportscast, in the iOS App Store. Hello, my name is Alan West, and I am not Victor Rocha. Welcome to the Jersey Boys. I'm here with Byron Jones, as always, and yes, I know that normally if Victor was here, he'd be doing all the extra introductions that he normally is famous for. Unfortunately, Byron, I'm sorry, I can't do that. So
we're keeping it short and sweet, you know, short and sweet.
Exactly. We can, when Victor comes back next week, he can go back and do everything that I'm not doing. I can't apologize for it, but I'm not trying to replace Victor on the show. I mean, you and Victor have a lot more fun on it. And besides, you know, I try to do my work on the top 25 rundown of different shows. So,
got it.
So, how are we doing this week, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. It's the weather here is weird. It was in the 40s this morning. It was a little chilly. Go outside the door, and I was like, I had to put some pants on the first time in 2 weeks. Well, not wear shorts, which I've been wearing, but I put some pants on and a sweatshirt because it was that cold out here.
Well, you know, I'm proud of you. Congratulations for that. Even though I know you didn't want to do that. Took one for the team. Congratulations, sir.
Yep. Had to put some pants on because it was a little chilly.
Yep. No, haven't really had to deal with that as much in Northern Virginia, but we'll see how it is, because I guess we're getting rain on Saturday, so we're going to see how that goes.
Yeah.
Because the rain's been going in and out for this whole, I guess, past few weeks. So just the question is it going to rain or is it not? Are we still dealing with the after effects of winter and lack of spring? Or are we going to see some spring before summer?
It's going to go straight to 90 degrees, 90, 95, like real. Because it hasn't really rained around here at all, you know, that much. But I don't know what's going on with the weather. You know, usually, you know, it rains, you know, the grass is real nice and, you know, stuff goes on. But not this year. It just went straight and everything is drying up, you know, already. So, which is kind of shocking. So, yeah, we'll see how things go.
Fingers crossed, no matter what, yes, let's put it right now. But let's go ahead and jump into some of the sports information. I see Deontay Banks.
Yeah, the Giants' number one pick from Maryland, your neck of the woods. You know, signed, yes, you know, got that nice little contract that he's got. You know, now he has the generational wealth, you know, take care of his family. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he could step in and be the number two guy, you know, for the Giants this year because of Dory Jackson, you know, the number one corner, you know, heading toward the last year of his contract. So, you know, we really needed, you know, corners. And, you know, in my mock, you know, I think earlier I had, you know, the Giants picking him, then another corner, then the guy that you guys pick, Emmanuel Forbes, I had, you know, the Giants picking them. So, you know, he's a good pickup. He's a tall corner, you know, he's six, you know, over 6 foot, and, you know, he's going to fit him, you know, perfectly with the Wink Martindale type of man-to-man pressure defense.
I understand. Hey, look who shows up.
Oh, must be nice.
What's happening? All right, well, hold on. I got to take off my background real quick. Thanks for joining in and helping me out here. And did we do our live yet?
Yeah, we did the 10-minute introduction that you usually do.
You did that for me? All right, you good man. All
right, you know, I didn't do it. Alan did it. I ain't doing it.
Alan, you the man, Alan. Thanks for joining in. Well, listen, live out of Scottsdale, Arizona. And the Scottsdale Resorts and Plaza. Look what's behind me, baby. the conference ended early, so I was able to, I was trying to join earlier, but then I ran into some clients and stuff. And this one's kind of for you, Byron. I want to give a shout out to Miss Weema. She owns Synergy Home Care out of Oklahoma City. She pretty much dominates the Oklahoma area. And I told you, you're a University of Tulsa, so she wanted to say hello to you. They do home care for people that need, you know, home care service in their homes, in their houses. And Weema has an excellent organization. She's one of the largest in this franchise. So I just wanted to give a shout out to them there. And I told you that my co-host went to University of Tulsa, so she was pretty happy to hear that.
She didn't yell already. You know, she didn't, like, you know, make any comments, you know, because, of, you know, because we're like the stepchildren of the state of Oklahoma. It's Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Tulsa.
She hesitated a little bit when I was like, well, you know, he went to University of Tulsa, so I thought it was going to be like this. She goes, well, I'm Oklahoma City. So you did call. All it right, so I'm gonna tell her, you know, Santiago, if you get this early clip, please clip it so I can send it to her. Number one, that you said that, because now I understand that she made that hesitant, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're the stepchildren of the state, man. University of Tulsa.
So what is it? It's University, who's from?
You got OU, you know, rules the state, then you got Oklahoma, and that's on one side of the state, then you have Oklahoma State, which is all the way on the other side of the state. They've ruled that side, and then we're like sort of in the middle, and you know, we're like the stepchildren, you know, like, put it this way, the players that OU and OSU don't want end up at Tulsa. I've been like that for decades.
So I'm gonna ask her now when I talk to her, because I did see a hesitance right when I mentioned it, and I go, hey, but he played in the NFL, so wherever he went, he played for Minnesota. So she goes, oh, that's fantastic. And then everybody says, hey, I want to check out your podcast. I want to check out your, is it every Friday, every Thursday at 5? I go, no, it's 8 o'clock Eastern, because I'm 3 hours behind. I'm in Arizona. So anyhow, I just wanted to give a shout out to her and say welcome. And I figure you guys will get a kick. If the noise is too loud, let me know. Is it noise too loud?
No.
Behind me?
Okay. No, I don't hear anything.
All right, good. Hey, Alan, thanks for stepping in too. Where are you at, in Miami Beach?
No, I'm Virginia, but I just use that background every time. I wish I was in Miami Beach another time, but I let you go there first before me. That's okay.
No. I'm all right. I'll catch up. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, you're okay, but I mean, that was why I just wanted to make sure we're talking about Deonte Banks time.
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Is that you? Yeah.
Yeah, because we already covered, because I just brought up with, you know, the Washington Commander fan sitting there that, you know, I had preferred Emmanuel Forbes, you know, first. Now, that's one I picked, you know, in the mock draft, and somehow, you know, they stole him before we had a chance to, you know, get this kid. It would have been just as good, but I'm happy with the Deonte Banks. You know, that's fine. But, you know, things sometimes work out for the best.
Yeah. Well, you know, well, the sale went through for the Commanders. Oh, Alan, so you're a Commander fan. You're like Aaron. Well, the sale went through. So how do you like that with the sale?
As long as it actually happens, I'll be very happy. Did you see that they will not put it to a vote this month? They're going to wait.
I'm confused. I thought Santiago sent out that it went through.
It went through on paper, but the owners still have to vote to confirm it. They have not done that yet. I think Snyder's trying to drag his feet because of that investigation that's happening. They're getting ready to release the findings. He wants to try to get out. He wants to have that investigation, the findings, he wants them hidden so that he doesn't look like the unique crap that he is. And the other thing is he also has that $55 million lawsuit going on for money he took from the franchise that the owners didn't know about, which is why the other owners had left the franchise.
Yeah, but he's getting ready to get a check. What is it, $6 billion? I'm sure he can afford the $55
million. That's one. And two, why would he delay it? You would think that he's better off getting the sale and whatever comes out so it doesn't affect the sale. Like, how does it? Why would it affect the sale?
You would think that, but for Snyder, He's a vain man. He's a man that, I mean, come on. Other than Jerry Jones, he's been the most hated owner in the league, and Jerry's been the only one that stuck by him and kept him going. But when this everything came out for the cheerleaders, he was saying that he had dirt on every owner. And as soon as he said that, any hope that he had of staying an owner vanished, because Goodell was like, yeah, you can't run the team. Your wife's got to run the team. And you, the owners, already hated him to be before, because every time they try to talk to him, they would ignore him at every chance. I mean, I saw the guy's office at Redskin Park myself, and he had a chess set for the Cowboys and the Redskins where it had him and his wife as the king and the queen. Do I need to say anything else?
No, I just don't understand how, like, is greed a gene? Like, you know, like, 55 million is in the bill compared to billions is like, why were you stealing? Like, you know, a person who of making minimum wage gets caught stealing goes to jail. Mm-hmm. You know, you steal millions of dollars and it was blatant, and it's just like you're getting a slap on the wrist. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, for Congress, he had to be forced to come to the congressional hearing, and that investigation that they're still doing, he refused to be interviewed for it because he knows all the dirt that they've uncovered and they would have questioned him about, and he didn't want to go through it. That's literally what's happened.
That's crazy.
He needs to get his money, the $6 million, and just go away. Just go away, man. You know, you've ruined that, you know, great franchise, and just go away, man. Just go away.
He ruined it in the historic franchise that it is, and he ruined it in reputation. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there was never a problem. You know, even we're in the NFC East, as much as we hate the Cowboys, we, you know, there's never issues with these organizations, you know what I mean? To the magnitude that the Redskins have developed. And it's sad, right?
Really is. And I'm waiting to see how it goes for the new stadium and just seeing what goodwill is going to come from him leaving, because honestly, he's the most hated man in this area. And nobody wanted to work with him on the stadium deal, or even like when the name change happened. Or Byron, something you could understand. Remember how they did they tried to recreate how Sean Taylor used to wear his uniform, and they put that crappy thing.
Oh, that was awful.
That, and like for Sonny Jurgensen, when they retired his jersey, and the long snapper called out that the jersey they used was something that was in the back corner of Redskin Park. They pulled it out so that they could use that so he could have his jersey retired. They didn't even want to get a new jersey or something like that. They pulled out something that was like in a back room in at Redskin Park, the training facility. I mean, if you're going to do something like that, be that cheap. I mean, I went to Redskin Park. I got thrown out of there once, but I mean, I got to go and take a look at how they had things. So just seeing how he did it, I've been embarrassed as a fan of my team.
We just gave a shout out to Weema, Oklahoma City.
I think it's only going to become better now that he's not going to be the owner anymore.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's real soon.
All right, well, let's not give him any more press than he needs. all right, so you see what's happening around the knees, you know?
We're up to Saquon not being signed.
Yep.
I mean,
he's got bad representation. Yeah, I'm gonna put it like that, because his representation should have knew that the running back market is not the way it used to be when Christian McCaffrey got his money and Kamara got their money and Chubb and all these got their money. The market is just not the same. You got Ezekiel, you have all these great backs are sitting, you know, they're sitting in the scrap heap.
That's been signed, right?
No,
no,
yeah. He's been signed.
No, you got all these guys are sitting back and you know, if like, and we've talked about this before. Okay, you take the $14 million, you're in New York area, the market, you know, you get some endorsements. You know, maybe you, you know, your agents got to work a little bit harder to get you these endorsements. You can make up that month, the two, huh?
14.
If they offered him, I'm just saying, well, no, I'm saying they offered him 14, either 12 or 14 was the offer.
They offered him 12 originally, and they turned it down.
Yeah, because he wants more. And, you know, you need to think about it where if you're in the New York area, I'm not getting hit, I'm not getting drugged, I'm not getting hurt, and I'm sitting, you know, I'm doing commercials and I'm doing this and I'm endorsing this product and you know, I'm opening up a car dealership or whatever. You know, you can make up all that money, you know, that he's not going to get, and you don't even have to get hurt, you know, to do it. But mm-hmm. you know, that's his choice, you know, with his, you know, representation. You know, they're, you know, looking out for his, you know, best needs. But the other thing is they want to get, I guess he wants to get as much money up front that they want to get, you know, like between the signing bonus and, you know, whatever, you know, he's going to sign for. That's what he wants. He's worried about as far as getting as much as you can, because a running back, you know, life is not that long.
And if I was him, I don't know about you, but I'd be worried about that. You know how the Maras are, you know, it's, you know, they're good people about character, but man, I'd take Zeke for $10 million. I think Zeke's got a good couple of years in him. I'm telling you.
But
remember, I still like Saquon better when we had our conversation a long time ago about Zeke. But I still think Zeke's got a good couple of years in him.
Yeah, but he's a different kind of back than Saquon. You know, Saquon's a better receiver. Probably better runner at this point. The only thing that he, you know, is a little bit better in is pass blocking. Is Zeke. Zeke's a very good pass blocker for the quarterback,
which we need, and he could put up yards, right? And we like pounding the ball. So I'm just saying to you, like, if I was worried about it, you're gonna bother me enough as a Giant owner. I have options. I got running back sitting there that may take the $10 million.
What do you think if he's going to do like a show me contract, maybe get like a 1-year contract this year to see how it goes and maybe just bet on the future? I'm not saying he would, but the thing is, right now, you're going to see how that goes. Because did you hear about Dominican Soon, what he said yesterday, how he said, I'm not going to do training camp. I'm going to prepare and I'm going to get signed by a team in the regular season.
Yep.
I'm not saying Saquon would do that, but if he doesn't get a contract with the Giants before training camp, I could almost see that being an option.
I think with him, the only reason I don't think that would be an option is he's injury prone, right? I mean, you know, he's got to worry about, he's been injured quite a bit over his career, right? So if he takes a 1-year contract, it's almost, he's taking a bigger risk than like he did when he didn't take the $12 million.
Yeah, but they could turn around and franchise him again next year. They could turn around and do the same thing.
What would that do, right?
They could turn around a franchise the next year, because right now he's going to play on the franchise tag as 10 years. And I think next year is 12, but it's, you know, this, it'll be $10 million guaranteed this year. Mm-hmm. And if they franchise him again next year, it's 12. So then he's going to make, you know, $22 million guaranteed, but does he really want to roll the dice and, you know, work on a 1-year contract like that, you know, year to year? Because they can get him twice. So, and this first and the second time will be next year.
Based on the way he's negotiating, I don't think he'd do it.
He has no choice. Yeah, but look what happened to Le'Veon Bell. What do you do? He sat out the whole year, man, and he was never the same. He was a good back. He was never the same sitting out the way he did. It does, from running back, they need to keep oiling, just keep it moving, but they can't sit out like that.
Yeah, that's why you notice that running backs get better the more carries they have.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're not getting your reps, you're not getting the hits, you're not getting the feel. This thing's changed, right? Offense has changed. And the sad part is that the Giants are on the up and up. I mean, like, you know, and like you said, you're on the up and up. You're in New York. You have another good season, right? You're writing your ticket in New York. Being in New York gives you a lot. If Michael Strahan has came out point blank, playing in New York has given him the opportunities that he has today on all the shows, on his TV shows, on Good Morning America, on everything. All started, he said, because I was a New York player and we won.
But look
at that Tiki.
Yep. But look at the Giants' history with that. Frank Gifford, New York guy. Sam Huff.
Phil Sims.
New York, Phil Sims. Sam Huff, New York guy, Washington Redskins, you know, Washington Redskins back in the day. Mm-hmm. So New York, man, New York is just, it's the place to be. And, you know, maybe they need to look at it that way, but, you know, I doubt it. And, you know, I don't want to be in the man's pockets, but that's what I would do. I would, you know, go ahead and sign on it. Go ahead and then go ahead and tell my, hey, go get me some of them deals with Campbell's Soup and this and that and whatever. And I, you know, just, you got to make that extra money. You're not getting hit. Nobody's touching you.
And he had some of those deals. He had he had commercials with the Progressive, you know, like when the moms are doing the thing. He was on one of those commercials.
Yeah, and he was hurt.
The mom with the soup.
Yeah, the soup, the Campbell soup. Yeah.
Was it Campbell or Progressive?
It was one of them. Campbell, Progressive.
Campbell.
Yeah, I think it was Campbell.
It was Campbell. I know Dak does Campbell too, but I'm pretty sure it was Saquon.
Well, I feel pretty good. You know, I think Giants are going to have another good season. I think the NFC East is going to be tough. You mm-hmm. know, Philadelphia is stacked up. You know, so they're going to be a challenge. But you know, any given Sunday, and when you're playing in the conference, it's always good. You know what I mean? I just, you know, the Dallas is getting hyped up again. So
Well, you see the new thing with Dallas that Micah Parson is beefed up a little bit so he can play defensive end in the defense.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like that. What do you think about that? I like him roaming. I think he's more effective being able to be free.
See, this is all going to be part of his contract negotiation. And we've talked about this before. If he plays defensive ends, make more money than off-the-ball linebackers.
Well, really?
Defensive end, you know, edge rushers make more money than the linebackers. So maybe... You know, I don't think he's up for a contract like another 2 years or whatever it is, but maybe he's thinking long run, hey, you know, if I play defensive end, I'm an edge rusher, I'm gonna get that $30 million a year, whatever, you know, those guys are getting. If they got me listed as a off the ball, you know, linebacker, I'm not gonna get, you know, as much. There are a few linebackers that make crazy money, but he's unique because he's an off the ball linebacker and he's a edge rusher. He's both. So, right. You know, what are you gonna pay him as? Which one?
Right.
Well, don't forget he was a little jealous about Jalen Carter going to the Eagles too. So
yeah,
I think he's been watching how he's been playing this year. And when he heard that, I think he wants to try to bulk up in case he tries to be not only just like the player he is, but he wants to try to add something else to what he can do already. That's my guess. So just because, I mean, because he was pretty upset when he saw draft night when Jalen Carter got drafted to the Eagles.
I think, and he's an undercover Eagle fan though, because he spends a lot of time, you know, in this area. And he's from, I think, Harrisburg, or, you know, like another side of state.
And, he went to Penn State.
Yeah, and he's definitely has, you know, some Eagle, Philadelphia Eagle love in there somewhere.
Who's that?
Micah Parsons.
Does he really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, what about the talk of them possibly thinking of putting Dak on the trading block?
For what?
I thought I heard they were, you know, rumors of, you know, considering doing something with Dak.
Nah. Nobody wants Dak besides Dallas, man.
And who's going to take that contract?
Nobody.
Exactly. You know, so I think, you know, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting season. I know they're hyping up Jets. What's happening over there with the Jets?
I mean, well, besides Aaron Rodgers is finally there. I wonder if, you know, did he take his friends, his new buddies, his receivers, you know, to, you know, his darkness cave or, you know, whatever you call the thing that he's went through. And I think Randall Cobb, didn't he sign with them? I think.
Yeah.
Randall Cobb, you know, he's bringing his receivers, you know, all the Super Bowls he won. All the Super Bowls he won in Green Bay, you know, with the receivers that he's bringing from Lazard, yeah. You know, Lazard and Randy, you know, Randall Cobb, you know, all the guys he won Super Bowl with, he bring them to the Jets. We'll see how that works out.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, right? Because they're all older, it's, you know what I mean? You know, unless they're running an offense that it's not like speed.
They're going to run the Green Bay offense. It's going to be the New York Jets because the Nathaniel Hackett is the offensive coordinator. The one he had in Green Bay. The one that got fired at Denver after a year.
Yep, and Also, you saw how Davante Adams, he was able to get first team All-Pro, and he threw a little bit of shade over at Aaron Rodgers after the fact. Because, like, yeah, I wasn't just me doing it. I didn't need technically the quarterback to become All-Pro. I was able to do it myself.
And he's trying to talk his way out of the Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, that's Las Vegas,
he don't want to be there.
Well, after David Carr left, I mean.
That was his buddy in college.
Yep.
Yeah, but man, you know, Timmy G is the winner. You know what I mean? I mean, Devontae's not going to do bad with Timmy G, in my opinion.
As long as he stays healthy. You
know, got to stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But, you know, there's no doubt. That goes back to South Airways last. If he's healthy, we're going to win the NFC East or the AFC East, right? So let me ask you a question. I remember we were talking that if Aaron Rodgers is going to Jets, how it may affect because of the money for the defense. Has the defense been affected? Because I still re-signed a defensive player.
Well, Quentin Williams is up for, you know, the next big quant. You know, he was all pro last year, the defensive tackle from, where is he from? University of Alabama, figures. And he's the next, you already got, I think Payne got paid for Washington.
Yep.
Dexter Lawrence got paid for our guys. The king of the hill is Aaron Donald. And then Quentin Williams is next on deck, you know, as far as getting a payday. So if Lawrence got, I think he got $60 million guaranteed, $90 million over 4 years or whatever it is. So Quentin, I'm sure once he saw Big Dex, you know, Sexy Dex, get his payday, I'm sure he wants the same thing because, you know, he's done a little bit more.
So my question is, will they be able to do it?
Yeah, they'll be able to do it. You know, you figure, you know, you'll shuffle money around and, hey, you take here's more signing bonus money, you know, reduce your salary. Yeah, it can be done.
You know, I'm setting you up, right?
What?
Because we had this conversation about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. And
what
you
about
said, and you had said that if they get Aaron Rodgers, they're going to lose that defense because they're not going to have the money to pay for the defense.
And I'm still going to keep saying that. Well, I might as well stick to it.
you're killing me. Alan, the reason I'm saying that is Aaron Rodgers' record is 80-10 when his defense holds the opposing team's offense under 20 points. And the Jets' defense last year averaged allowing 18-point-something points. That's a pretty phenomenal record.
Okay, I'll give you that. I only got one question. How many Super Bowls did he win?
He's 1-1.
Okay. So he's had some great defenses in Green Bay, and he's won one Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, I mean, I want to see how he does with the Jets, but while I do like
Super Bowl with the Jets, I mean, in my opinion, right? But my own point to getting Aaron Rodgers to Jets is, you know, sometimes you just need something to change something because they've been so bad for so long. It's just terrible, right?
Yeah, but
I think it's a victory if he gets him to the playoffs and wins one game. I think that is a coup, and it was worth every dollar because when you're in New York and you win, they make money. Jerseys sell out, stadiums sell out. I mean, you know, my nephew-in-law, he's got 100 people going to opening day game already. Okay. And this was before they signed them.
Yeah, but if you're paying a guy, I don't know, $58 million. So you mean to tell me them crazy Jet fans, they're pretty intense, are going to be happy with one playoff win?
Yes. They're going to be happy with making the playoffs.
And yes, the fact that you don't know if he's going to come back next year.
They're going to be happy with this today that they make the playoffs. They're going to be happy that they got a name quarterback. They're going to be happy if they got success.
For one year.
Yeah, because, dude, Byron, they've been so bad for how long? Byron, what's the record? I mean, it's just been bad. I mean, it's got to be miserable to be a Jet fan. It's got to be miserable.
We got a lot of friends.
And I love my friends, but remember, when their Jets are winning and Giants aren't, the reason why the disdain I have for the Jets is because how much our friends dog the Giants when the Giants are playing
bad. That's fair.
So every time you go against the team, like, don't make me defend my team, because every time you make me defend my team with such, you know, passion, I start disliking your team. Right. Because now I have to defend it. And now I sound like a hypocrite because now I'm telling you how bad your team is. And because I'd like to see the New York teams win. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've just been bad, man.
Yeah, but they're going to be happy with one playoff win. And then he rides off into the sunset.
They're going to be happy that they made it to the playoffs. I'm saying to you that it's a coup that they win one playoff game. If they win more than that, it's different. I mean, I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm not a Jet fan. I'm just telling you, the excitement is there. When I'm telling you that I know one person that has 100 people going to opening day game, that's pretty exciting. And they haven't even played. So what happens if they actually make the playoffs?
Well, don't forget this. They have the AFC offensive rookie there, Garrett Wilson, who won last year. He's on their team as the running. He's like the hybrid running back receiver. So he's going to give Aaron Rodgers a running back receiver that is actually pretty dependable, because I mean, in Green Bay half the time he was having to do like patchwork, let's be honest. So you've already got the defending AFC offensive rookie of the year who went to Ohio State. So I mean, I think that's going to help him.
That's a decent weapon, man, because he hasn't had that in Green Bay.
Oh, he had a lot of great receivers through the years of Green Bay.
I'm not saying he had great receivers. That's not what Island said. He said he's got a running back, right? That's a receiver. That's a different element of the game. Think about it. The Randall key to Cobb. Victories for Kansas City, we said last year, was what? As great as Philadelphia's defense was, they were 31st against the running backs receiving. Okay? And how did they get beat? Running backs getting the ball. Giving this to Aaron Rodgers, you got an advantage in the AFC.
Yeah, but Randall Cobb is the same kind of receiver. He's one that, you know, you pass short pass and, you know, and pretty much a running back once he gets the ball in his hand. And he had him for years. So
I get it, but it's still lining up as a receiver. Like mentally, the game plan, he's already a receiver. This is a running Cobb back too. Lining up as a, it's like a Saquon. You just mentioned Saquon Barkley is a better pass receiver as a running back than Elliott. It's the same thing with this guy. And if he's the rookie of the year, like Alan said, he's got to be pretty good. And he's what, 23?
Yeah.
I mean,
young guy.
He's got young legs. He's already good. And now he's got a Hall of Fame quarterback with him. I mean, come on, man. It's definitely not a recipe for disaster.
But he's won one Super Bowl. I'm going to keep harping on that, though.
Hey, guys, I get it. But how many guys have won multiple besides Brady?
Quite a few.
Who?
Montana.
Mahomes has got two, right?
Jim Plunkett, two.
No, but I'm talking about today, modern history.
You said multiple, right?
You never said that before.
Okay, let's go over the last, besides Brady, over the last, I mean, well, you can't do it because Brady's won.
Elway.
Manning.
Manning's got two Super Bowls, and Manning's my favorite, and I like Manning, and everybody dogs him. Yet he was MVP twice. Right?
Elway's
won two a while ago, and I'm happy with that. But it's still two. It's one more, right? I mean, Brett Favre won one also.
He also threw for 6,100
yards. So did Trent Dilfer. So did Brett Johnson. So did Doug Williams. I mean, I get you. Come on. Man, I can give you everybody as well one game.
Come on, man. I love Doug Williams, man. Don't put Doug Williams in that, man. That was my guy, man.
Come on, man. Doug Williams came in as a dual quarterback and just lit it up in the game that he was supposed to light it up.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, no. He got hurt during that game. I remember he had hurt his knee, and then they passed him back up and threw him out there. Next thing you know, man, he was lights out. Doug Williams.
Weren't they dual quarterback in that year with him?
No, I don't think
so. Him and Schroeder, I believe.
Yeah, him and Schroeder. Schroeder dual quarterbacking. Yeah. And then Doug Williams came in and did, and that's my point with Manning. You know, you can say whatever you want, but when it counted, he was MVP and won.
You know, right?
Against Belichick, against the greatest coach ever. So, but you're right; he's only won one. But you know, it's just, you know, how many did who's your Redskins quarterback? Man, he's famous.
Theismann?
Theismann. How many he went? I think he won two. He won one with John Riggs.
He was a backup on one, and then they won one.
Well, okay, yeah, because they lost to the Raiders, and they were repeat. They went to the Super Bowl twice. They won once, and then that year they were dominant. I love the Raiders. I thought they were going to beat the Raiders, and sure enough, the Raiders won. Remember when the punter caught that incredible bad snap?
Great guy, with one hand.
You know what I mean? And look, you know, it's about Super Bowls, but it's hard to win a Super Bowl, right? That's why, you know, I always make the same comment. I reference Barkley because he's a superstar, and Barkley will say, you know, you guys keep mentioning these other great players, Michael Jordan. He goes, everybody go, but man, you got to give Brady the GOAT because, you know, the Super Bowl is game seven all the time. You don't have another game, right? Like, you know, LeBron lost his first game, but we got six more games.
Yeah, thing for LeBron, I wouldn't use him as a comparison because sure, he's made it to the finals, but for him, he's had great teams, but he hasn't been able on a lot of teams to win the game when it counts. Sure, he's won a title in Cleveland. He's won a title with the Lakers. He's won a title with the Heat. But who's ever going to forget his big thing when he was going to remind me, not one, not two, not three, not four, and then ends up with maybe like one? Yeah, that's but see, for like him, it. He tried to say that he was going to win so many.
He would have.
Jordan, though. True, but here's the thing.
If he would have stayed with the Heat, well, let me ask you a question. Let's go ahead over to basketball, right? Because basketball is going on now, right? That's why I don't like LeBron. I've respected LeBron going back to Cleveland because he was saying that's where I want to raise my kids and this and that.
But he
didn't get along with Riley. Right. And because Riley's the only ones, no, this is my team and you're going to play Miami basketball. Miami has made it back to the finals without him. They win it this year as the eighth seed. Okay.
Jimmy Butler.
But if he would have stayed, no different than KD. If KD would have stayed at Warriors, they would have won a couple more championships. Right. But they let their egos get in the way. If LeBron would have stayed there, they would have won a couple more championships because Spoelstra and Riley understand how the dynamics to build around you. You know what I mean? And they're playing with seven undrafted players. Two undrafted players.
Yeah, but Durant, that's a bad comparison because Durant, everywhere he's gone, other than when it's a team that actually has had leadership and skill, he has barely made it in the playoffs and made it maybe to the first round and won that. I think he only made it to the conference finals once or twice.
Was really about him leaving a team, right? Like winning multiple. And that's what I was meaning. I mean, like Bron stayed, they would have figured out how to continue to rebuild again around him, right? And win more championships. That's my point there. Okay. And then with KD needed to get off his high horse with Draymond Green. They would have won a couple more championships.
I can definitely agree with that.
That's the only thing I'm saying. You leave and it doesn't work for you. You know what I mean? And I also don't like, you know, this MVP stuff. You know, Nicole Joker, the Joker, he should have won an MVP. He hasn't won an MVP, I don't think.
He won two.
He won two.
He should have won more. That guy's an incredible player.
He probably is going to win another one next year. But, I mean, the thing was, it was basically a contest between him and Embiid. And so this year, Embiid was able to go over top.
And Giannis. But
the last two or three years. Yeah, Giannis.
And Giannis.
I mean, you said the last 4 years, those are the people that have won the MVP. Giannis, Jokic, and Embiid. Those have been the three players you've always heard about, even though they're saying LeBron could have won it. It's like, no. When you're watching how people are playing.
Let me throw this out here. And out of those three players you just talked about, what happened to both of their coaches? Two of the coaches got fired. Two of them got Giannis and Embiid, both of their coaches who have won 50 plus games, got fired.
Yeah.
Even though they have, you know, the top three players in the whole sport.
Well, I don't know about the Milwaukee coach as much, but you know, Doc Rivers, and let me tell you, I met him personally, nicest man. I mean, legitimately nice guy. I always root for Doc Rivers. I liked him as a player. I think he's a hell of a coach. But man, Something's wrong. He's blown 3-1 leads twice, right? And he's got an MVP. He can't get him farther, right?
They scored 24 points between the two of them, Harden and Embiid. The last game, game 7, they had 24 points between them two.
Right.
Doc's not playing. They're playing.
I get it. And I don't like it that Doc gets, but Doc's history, right, you know, to be one of the few coaches to blow 3-1 leads, you know, is – you know, something's wrong. There's no adjustment. It's like if Philly goes back to the Super Bowl and they don't adjust their defense and lose again, that's a problem. Because to me, their defense lost that Super Bowl.
Well, they got a different coordinator now. He got a head coaching job. They're good.
Oh, so they do got a different defensive coordinator. That's the point, right?
I think he went to Arizona, that guy.
Yeah,
he's head coach. Yeah, Frank Gannon went to Arizona, and then the other one went to the Colts.
Was it Indianapolis?
Yeah. Right.
So Byron, so listen. So now I know we're the NFL show. This is the NBA. So what are you thinking about the Heat, Byron? You know I'm a Heat fan.
Yeah, I know. You know why I like the Heat?
I'm converted. I converted.
I can tell. Yeah, traitor. You want to know why I like the Heat? Because Jimmy Butler is an alpha dog, man. I like the way he plays. He comes to play when, you know, not when he does the load management, but when it comes time to play. He plays and he puts up some points. He's my alpha dog out of all the ones that are still left.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
Yeah, I think he's a killer now. But he wasn't playing like that early in Miami, which was my biggest complaint. And we have it on podcast where, you know, I didn't like that he didn't, you know, Wade, one thing about Wade knew when he needed Kobe. They knew when they had to take over, they were taking over. There was no.
Yeah, but when he first got there, he was more like a defensive guy.
Yeah, he wasn't taking over. The guy. And he was still the star. He was the guy, but he wasn't taking over.
No.
Now, over the last couple of years, something they did, either they talked to him, they said, we're going to win or lose with you. So you got to take over. And he's done it, man. He is playing his defense. His defense is incredible. He's getting steals. He motivates his team. You know, they say, and his teammates say he's tough too. He's tough on them, you know. But, and then, you know, Stephen A was saying that he probably should get rid of, you know, Spoelstra's time is probably due. Spoelstra's a great coach, man.
Yeah, he is.
He makes adjustments. He's a great, great coach. I like him and I like Kerr. You know, I think those are two really, really good coaches.
Well, remember, Spoelstra is the coach that Pat Riley handpicked. When he decided to just go into the front office, he had Spoelstra become the head coach. Spoelstra's been there ever since. So, I mean, if you're going to have a Hall of Fame coach like Pat Riley say, I'm not going to coach anymore, I want you to take over the team, that says something. And the other thing for Jimmy Butler, I'd like to think you've noticed how Udonis Haslem, when Butler first got there, Haslem was more like the alpha dog on the team. I'm pretty sure Haslem was like, look, this is how the team is. This is what you need to do. And you've been watching every year for Butler how he's not only been a great defensive player, but upping his offensive game. I think Haslem probably has had a fair amount to do with it too, just because
without a doubt.
He's been there the whole time.
They got into a fist fight. Like, it's Haslem doesn't mess around. He's from Miami.
Exactly.
Rough area of Miami. You know, so Haslem, he's not going to back down. He yells at those guys. That's why they kept him, you know, and they're paying him. And I think Udonis, but the Heat organization, you know, one thing I like about the Heat, like you said, they handpicked him. I have a feeling that the next coach is going to be handpicked too. It's the kid with the big ears that played for Miami. I think he's the next one, right? I think he's the next one they're going to pick. I think the Spoelstra's not grooming him next. One thing they say, the players that say when they go to Miami, what they're so impressed with, when they walk in, it's all ex-Miami players that are in the office. Alonzo, I mean, think about it. It's Heat players. Yeah, they bring in their own. Everything is homegrown within their players. I'm still just amazed to have what do you have any team? How many players on a basketball team? 15. You got 7 of them are free agents. That's some development. And we're losing, and we're not playing without Tyler Hero, which I understand that if we can get to the finals, he may come back. That's 20 points. Now, whether he's the same or not, but I'm sure he's going to put up at least 10, 15.
You got to ease him back in if he hasn't been playing for a while. So.
No, yeah, I'm sure. You know, I'm sure they're going to take their time. Well, think about it. Look what he's been doing. Spoelstra's smart. I mean, he's Duncan Robinson was super hot.
and it still doesn't come in. He's got Kyle Lowry coming off the bench. You know, and I think Kevin Love may be the next Mike Miller, right? You know how the Miami fans love Mike Miller. Mike Miller played for everybody else beforehand, but when he came to Miami, he played injured, hurt, and was hitting threes when he needed to hit the threes. So, you know, I'm excited. And it'd be nice to see an 8-seed team win a championship. That's got to be unprecedented. I think there's only one team that's made it to the NBA Finals as an 8-seed.
I forget who that team is, but yeah, I'm pretty sure that's right.
So, so I'm excited. What do you think about tonight? Who's going to win tonight? Bobby? Lakers, Denver.
Lakers got to win tonight. If they go down 2-0, it's going to be a sweep. If they lose tonight, it's over. Done.
If they lose tonight, it's over. I don't think it'll be a sweep.
It's going to be a sweep.
I don't think LeBron will ever be swept.
He'll be swept.
To beat LeBron 4 times.
So, it can happen. It's
virtually impossible.
Oh, and fellas, I did look up what you were talking about.
By the way, I want to give
the last 8-seed to make it to the NBA Finals was your New York Knickerbockers.
Knicks, and it was only one. They're the only one, right?
Well, I believe so.
Well, like 1999.
That was Earl the Pearl Monroe, Walt Frazier.
Dave DeBuscher, Jerry Lucas.
Dave DeBuscher. Sugar Ray Williams. that's old school. I think it's good for the league to see this taking place, right? In the play-in tournament. And as much as I don't like LeBron because of his teams and what he's picked and stuff, you know, I'm not going to take away. I mean, he out-hustles everybody on that Laker team.
And he's almost 40 years old.
And he's the oldest. So you got to give him credit. Man, you know, he's still blocking. He's a one-in-a-lifetime, I think, athlete. Did you see what the San Antonio's got the first pick? You give Greg Popovich the first pick, and this kid is supposed to be really good. By the way, his name is Victor.
Say his last name.
Yeah, say his last name. Let's see you do that.
All I know is Victor means winner and conqueror.
Okay. I believe the last name is Wenembaya.
Wenembaya. Yeah, and he's French.
I believe that's the last name. Yes. 7'5".
7'5", and he's supposed to be the next LeBron.
And a wingspan, player. 8 foot.
Yep. But playing for Greg Popovich.
Let's see, who else has he had?
That's a great coach to be. In other words, Duncan, you know how we always Robinson. Complain about the number one pick in the NFL if you're a quarterback going to a lousy team, right?
Yep.
This is the total opposite.
They were lousy team, though. They weren't.
Yeah, but you got a great coach, man. He's underrated. He's got 5 championships, right? And he's groomed people like Kawhi should have never left. That's another guy. He should have never left San Antonio, number one. And then his second thing that I think he should have never left was Toronto, because he would own 2 countries.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, right? Toronto, he only needed 1 year to win a title there. So.
Well, but I'm saying they were really good without him the following year.
True.
Right. And imagine if he was there. So everybody already liked him in the United States. They loved him in Canada. Now you're a player that's loved in 2 countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they, the and taxes, I understand tax, they were giving, taxes they were giving, was killing him. They were giving him a holiday tax. Come on, man. You really think the taxes are going to be effective? They gave him a house. He was out. He was able to eat for free at any restaurant in the entire country. I mean, absolutely. I think they're making up for taxes. You know what I mean?
Well, I'd be a lot of food than the taxes he was paying.
Well, he's a big boy, so I mean, I'm sure he could eat a lot of food. I'm sure he can bring a lot of players with him to eat a lot of food, right? But Greg Popovich is I think he's just one of those coaches no one remembers or like thinks about, and he's a great coach. mean, he just continued developing and developing. I remember he had what's his name? Who's the point guard? Shoot, I can't remember. I know him. He was married
Tony Parker
from France. Tony Parker. Right? So he's used to dealing with European, and he loves European players. Ginobili.
Yeah, but he's not. He's dealing with a kid that's 7'4", 7'5". He looks kind of thin to me. But, you know, they don't play, you know, the way they used to play back in the day where, you know, he had the bang on him. He can handle the ball. Mm-hmm. He can shoot. He can, you know, he can do a lot of things. Nobody's blocking the shot when his arms are that long. Hopefully, you know, he doesn't get hurt. That's the first thing. That's what usually happens with the big guy.
Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't get hurt. But he's up with the right coach, Popovich.
Well, what's his name was really thin from Dallas, too.
Cool.
When he came in to leave at 20.
Dirk?
No, not Dirk. Yeah, but Dirk was thin, but the other one.
Sean Bradley?
Sean Bradley, yeah.
Luka?
Sean Bradley was thin. Luka was really thin when he came in.
I don't know about.
Yeah, he was really thin when he came in because he was only 20. He was a young kid, right?
Well, this kid is thin.
But he's also bigger. Thin. He's also really big.
Yeah, but if you're 7 foot. Five or whatever he is, and you weigh 220 pounds. That's a lot of stretching and thin that.
Yeah.
I don't think he ain't that thick.
Well, they're gonna have to put weight on him. I mean, he's gonna have no choice because, you know, if not, they're gonna beat him up.
Yeah, but then again, you have Kevin. Durant. Durant. He wasn't the biggest guy, and when they said they did the bar, he couldn't even do, you know, bench the bar or whatever what he was doing. But I'm just saying, and look what he's done. You know, jump. You can't stop him too. Yeah, he's a scoring machine, but we'll just see.
Not winning.
Yeah,
and speaking of that, what are your thoughts on this? Is good one since we're still in basketball. You know how, like, you know, Steph Curry won one MVP, right, in his four championships, okay? And I never thought about this until it was brought up. And they go, but doesn't that make him even a greater player, the fact that he was surrendering to the rest of the guys, as great as a player he was? Because you had Iguodala win, and you had Kevin Durant win twice, and then he won, right? So doesn't that make him that much greater of a player to be able to win championship and have others as MVP, and he's still the man? What are your thoughts on that?
No. Just flat out no.
I guess I'm serious to that. I think I believe in that because he's unselfish. He's about winning. You know, because the other guys are MVPs and they're not winning. They can outscore and they're not winning.
Right. Are you trying to say that makes him a great player because he's won four championships and just one MVP? Is that what you're trying to say?
I think he's a great player, yes. He's won four championships. And he's just put up numbers that are, you know, some things that are just incredible, right? And I just think the rest of his team hasn't always come through when they needed to. And I think Kerr's a great coach.
Do you think they would have done just as well with Mark Jackson being the coach? Because remember, he was the coach before
Mark
Kerr.
Built that team. He's the one who picked those guys. So I kind of felt bad. But, you know, Mark Jackson, I like Mark, you know, Jackson. Especially he played for the Knicks for a little bit and then he was in Indiana. But Mark, you know, kind of, you know, the humble gentleman that he is, he just felt that Steve Kerr was able to take him to that next level. I mean, Steve Kerr's won a lot that he was there. And think about how many Kerr has, like, 9 championships or 10? He has got 4 as a coach and I think 5 as a player.
Yeah. Because he won 2 with San Antonio and
he's got 3 with
Chicago.
Yep.
And he's got 4 right there, so maybe he's got 9.
Not as many as Phil. Phil's got 11.
Phil's got what?
11.
Yeah, and Riley's got how many? 11.
No, I didn't think he got that many. Not 11.
Yeah, I don't think Riley has 11.
Yeah, no. Look it up.
Phil's got the most.
He's got with the Lakers. And Riley's won at every division in college, in the pros. Riley has a championship with a championship as a player. He's got championship as coaches. His championship as
players and Nick, I believe.
How many win with the Lakers? 2. And then he won get a 1 or 2 with the Heat.
He ain't got 11.
He's got, I'm telling you. You got it, Alan?
1, 2, 3. He's won 4 NBA championships in Los Angeles.
Okay, then.
And then he won another one in Miami. Mm-hmm. And then he won. He's got 9 total.
Told you.
He has 9 total.
That's not 11. The last time I checked, even though.
No, but yeah, last time I checked, you thought it was less than 9.
Well, he doesn't have 11. Phil Jackson has the most.
He's going to win more. Well, no. Phil Jackson's got the most. I think Steve Kerr's got how many? 9 or 10, if not more.
Let's see.
And then you also got to count Riley's championships as a president. How can you not count that? He's still got championships.
Let's see. Steve Kerr.
He's got 2. He's got 2.
5.
Miami.
Well, 5 is a player.
Kerr's got 5 as a player, 4 with Golden State. So he's got 9.
But not more than Phil Jackson.
And Robert Horry's got 7.
All by himself.
Who? Robert Horry?
All by himself.
Who? Jackson or Robert Horry?
No, Robert. Horry.
Kerr has 9 championships.
Kerr has 9. Riley has, you said 9. But you're not yep. counting him as a president.
Who?
Riley. You're not counting
you're getting his all championship. Now you're getting all technical and everything. Come on, man.
He's part of the team, man. He's part of the team. You know, he's got 2 more with Spoelstra. He's got 11 total.
No, 9. He only has 9.
He's got 5. He's got 4 with the Lakers, right?
No, he's got 4 with the Lakers, 3 with the Heat, and 1 as a player.
Right. So that's 8, and then he's got 2 with Spoelstra.
Who with him?
Because the player was 72, assistant coach was 80. Head coach 82, 85, 87, 88 in 2006, and executive 2012, 2013. So that's 9.
I think, right? It's a waste of time. We're not done. We're going to win 1 this year. It'll be 10. I like Phil Jackson.
Hey, we'll see.
I like Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson to write a book and talk smack about Kobe and then come back and coach him to a championship. That's pretty impressive.
Yep.
Over there, and I'm like, there right, is. And then date the owner of the team.
that was different.
So, all right. Well, we're getting excited, you know, for the NFL to get started. But I'm excited with the NBA. I enjoy this time of year. I mean, I'm just really, really happy with it. I could not believe, because I was somewhere. I forgot where I was. Oh, I was in Cancun, and I had to watch the Heat like on replay, and I couldn't believe that comeback that they made and going from there. And I was a little disappointed in Golden State, but I wasn't disappointed with Phoenix.
They fired their coach too.
Yep. Phoenix yep. the 2?
Yep. Those, Monty Williams got fired.
It was 3 teams. Like I said this before, 3 teams that fired their coaches, even though they won 50 games.
Yeah. And most of them with with KD on it.
Yeah, with Phoenix. Yeah.
Now before we wrap this up, I want to introduce you to a client of mine, Mr. Dan Root. Would you like to join my show, Jersey Boys Sportscast? We got Mr. Dan Root here. Come on, we gotta come on here, Dan Root. Why don't you tell us about your business?
Oh, goodness.
Locate us.
Yep, Synergy Home Care, located in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Been open for about 2.5 years, and
can you hear, guys? Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We hear.
We can hear.
Yeah, we got. We hear.
Yep. Synergy Home Care, located in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Been open about 2.5 years. My wife and I own the location, and we're growing, and a lot of it's because of guy. Or part of it is, but we're happy to have his help with things, and it's going well. And
who's your team? What's your sports team?
My sports team?
You like
It's a team, anything in Tennessee, like the Titans or?
Oh, yeah. I like Tennessee and go Vols.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Awesome. They have a great organization.
Right.
You know, and they take care of our elderly. Byron does wheels on meals. He played for in Minnesota. Yeah. So the home care service is pretty interesting. You know, they go to the houses and take care of the elderly, you know, and they also have there's a great company called Vet Assist as well. Byron, that like for veterans that need it, they do all the paperwork so they can get home care, so that people can get
care. Yeah, it's a lot of paperwork for veterans.
Yes, you know, they take care of that for them because it's a massive a challenge. For
a lot of paperwork. A
lot of challenge. And Carmen Perry is a friend of mine. So cut this out too. Santiago, I'm at their conference, so that's where we're at. But Alan, I really will appreciate you stepping in today. Sorry, I just jumped in, but I figure you guys would get a kick out of my Scottsdale, Arizona. And look how dark. By the way,
we're not, man. We're haters, Byron, man. I'm a hater.
Okay, I don't care what they say. That dry heat is heat. It is hot. Okay, I walked out. There's misters. The stuff is drying up before it even hits you. You know, but it's beautiful. Now it's like getting windy and cold. And look how the sky just turned, right? Yeah. The sky just turned. It's not as nice as sunny where Alan's at. All right. So we're looking forward. Don't forget next week, Jersey Boy Sportscast. We'll be back live out of Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We are every Thursday at what time, Byron? 8 p.m. 8 p.m. Don't worry about he showing up nine fingers, but it's 8 p.m. That's for Eric.
Yeah, that's for Eric.
That's for Eric. Not 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, like where I'm at. Well, Arizona is really mountain, but they don't recognize daylight savings, just like the rest of us shouldn't, because I like having more daylight. We're looking forward to hopefully the sales comes through for you, Alan, in Washington. I think it's good for the NFL when NFC East is good. I think it changes the game, because even though it's a quarterback league, when the NFC East is good, that means the defenses are really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And you know, unless you're in Philadelphia, you don't decide not to make any adjustments. But outside of that, you know, usually that's pretty good, right? So NFC East playing good football. And think about it, you know, we almost had all four teams in. Washington almost got in. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. It would have been nice to have that. And I'm proud of being from the NFC East. And I mean, you should just see Byron. I can't put some shirts on our show because we're a PG show. But man, you should see some of the Philadelphia stuff that
I see it walking around here.
Man, but they say some rough stuff, man.
Oh boy,
you know what I mean?
Man.
They say rough. It's like Philadelphia said, like their shirts, and it was a girl, a lady that had the shirt on. You know,
I got 80 and 90 year old people that I deliver meals to that be blasting me with stuff, and some of the stuff that coming out of their mouth, they're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
And it is so funny, and you know, I always ask the same question, right? NFC East, okay, great. Which team do you like the least? 100% Cowboys. It's no hesitation. They don't think about it. They don't nothing. Cowboys. They don't mention Giants. They don't mention Cowboys. I mean, they don't mention the Commanders, and they don't mention Philadelphia. It's pretty funny.
It's America's team. America's team.
It's America's. It's not America's team anymore. I don't think. I just think it's getting their team. They get blown out of proportion. So good luck with you, Alan. I'd like to see them do good. How's our guy, your defensive lineman that just keeps getting hurt? Is he gonna come back, or Shane?
Chase Young, you mean?
Yeah, Chase Young.
Supposedly he's gonna be back this year. They did not exercise his fifth year option though, so this is gonna be his last year unless he gets a new contract. So we're gonna see what happens with that.
You got to stop getting hurt, man. But they still did all right. All right, well, gentlemen, don't forget, please follow us on all our channels on the Sportscast. We are on Spotify, on Stitcher. We are on YouTube. Smash the YouTube button. Hit listen to it. If you got if you got an Apple phone, you can go to podcast. Hit the Jersey Boys Sportscast. Alan, why don't you tell us a little bit about your show when it appears?
I host the Top 25 Rundown. It's Wednesday nights. Either at 9 o'clock, but right now, me and my co-host, we usually do it at 10:30. So
Okay, so it is called a top 25 rundown, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because I want to start adding it to our show every time we mention it. So whether you're on or not, it's just that every time it says, I kept reading top 25 rundown, like, was that for the moment? Or is that, you know what I mean? Because I'm thinking top 25. Uh-huh. So it's top 25 rundown is the name of the show. And it's when?
Mm-hmm. It's right now we're doing Wednesdays at 10:30 and we're going through all the different.
Eastern, Central, Pacific?
Eastern, 10:30 Eastern. And we usually go through the different sports that are happening in college sports, depending on spring, summer, and fall. And we're going through setting up like super regionals for softball, the college baseball World Series getting ready to get start soon. And we got men and women lacrosse going on right now. So,
all right. So please subscribe, look up for the top 25 rundown, check out Alan. They have a really good show. I know Byron has been on there several times. You know, we're sports cast, we're growing. So please enjoy that. Byron, you know where I'm at? They have this big sign here. Where am I at? What's the bowl here? Is it the Sun Bowl here? I'm in Scottsdale, right? So yeah, like where I'm staying at, it shows all the college teams that have stayed here. I mean, it's stacked.
Why are you bringing up bowl games, man? You know I never played in one. Man. You know, come on, let it go, man. Let it go. Let it go.
But what was your record though?
10-1. 10-1.
10-1. All right. I gave you an extra win.
Like we didn't even get the. We didn't even get the tidy
bowl.
Like
I gave to Riley.
We didn't get the tidy bowl. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I heard they're getting rid of a lot of bowls.
Why?
Because it's just, they're not making money. Nobody's watching them.
Go figure. Go back. You know, when I played, you know how many bowl games they had? 16. Now they got like 50 or whatever they got.
Yeah, I don't even know the names. Same thing with the stadiums. Half the times I don't know the name of the stadium.
I think part of it, they're going to try to take away some just for the playoff because you know how they're going to have the extra games for the playoff?
Yeah.
So.
All righty. Well, gentlemen, you have a good night. God bless. It's 6 o'clock here, so hopefully I get some rest when I get home. All right. Take care.
All right.
All right. Welcome. Jersey Boy Sports Cast signing out. Peace.